Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Good morning and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. I'm with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And if you're new to the show, if you haven't caught the program before, just as means of an introduction, I am an active real estate investor. I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and have been a member of Lifestyles since March of 2012. My wife and I, we invest in both single-family properties, houses as rentals, and in multifamily, in apartments as well. And since I'm out there doing this stuff day-to-day, have been doing it for almost 9 years now, I always have things going through my mind, and sometimes I will build the show around some of those things that are on my mind presently, sometimes things that are weighing heavily on my mind. But today, it is a burden that was actually recently lifted from my shoulders that has inspired today's show. Here's what I did this past week. Unbelievable. I handed off all of my tax documents to my CPA ahead of time. What a relief. I'll tell you, this, for me, this is one of those areas where I am prone to really drag my feet. I'm the guy that manages this stuff as part of our dynamic duo. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I put it off. I just keep pushing it back, that calendar reminder back and back and back, but not this year. So I have got taxes on my mind, or I guess really off my mind, fortunately. And that's what I want to talk with you today about. So a couple of tax topics for the day. I want to remind you about the dates when things need to happen, because we've got a few important changes that have been put forth by the IRS. This affects some people, doesn't affect everyone, and we'll address the question, you know, should I deduct every darn expense that I can possibly claim? Good question. Might hurt yourself if you do. And I'll answer the question as well, why am I, Andy, why am I excited to see a massive loss on the K-1 of my first passive multifamily investments? I'm excited about that. I'll tell you why. And we'll touch a little bit on some of the tax advantages that we see as real estate investors, right? We'll talk about depreciation. That's a big ticket item, and cost segregation, which then translates into what I'm going to call accelerated depreciation. That kind of ties into that prior question that I just posed. And of course, again, that is one of the tax advantages. And you have to remember, you know, talking about tax, that can be a fairly dry topic, I suppose. But for us as real estate investors, and anybody really in the United States, it's, you've heard it before, it's not what you earn, it's what you keep, right? And, you know, think way, way back. Benjamin Franklin, he said, in this world, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Okay. And a little bit later, Will Rogers, he came around the corner and he said, the only difference between death and taxes is that death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets. Which begs the question, what do you expect tax rates are going to do here in, I don't know, the near term or maybe longer term? After all, what's happened, we've had a change of banners up in the White House and on Capitol Hill. Both the presidency and both chambers of Congress are controlled, managed now by the Democrats. So we need to see, what are they going to do? What have they done historically? Well, they tend to take the rates up. All right. So you should be thinking about ways to manage through whatever changes they may bring. And remember, we talk about this a lot on the show. You probably hear it on our advertisements as well at Lifestyles Unlimited. We make our money five ways. If I'm thinking about single family houses, there's the cash flow, right? That money I'm putting in my pocket every month that I live off of now, right? There's the equity capture, that huge buffer of equity that I create at the beginning by buying right, buying at a discount. There's that equity buildup that we capture every month as part of that rent, right? We take that rent from our residence. We pay down our mortgage. That equity builds up through that process. What I call dumb appreciation. That's the icing on the cake. We don't buy for appreciation here in Texas like they do on the coasts. We buy for that cash flow. We buy for that equity capture. But appreciation, it happens. And it's been happening pretty tremendously here over the last decade or so. And that fifth way that maybe we don't talk about quite as often are, in fact, the tax advantages, and I want to make sure you understand some of those by the end of the show today. If you have any questions today, if you're working on your taxes right now, like I have been, give me a call. The number here is 855-497-4335. Again, 855-497-4335. Or send me an email. I do have that open right now. I checked that during the breaks. That email address, it's askandy@luinc.com. Lifestyles Unlimited, Inc., luinc.com. Ask Andy. So let's start off with the general timelines for filing. You probably know this. You should know this. If you've been doing this for any period of time, you know, traditionally the filing deadline is April 15th. So that's just a little over a month away. My particular CPA said I need that stuff on my desk here by middle of March. So I had a concrete deadline ahead of that. Got that done. Patting myself on the back. You can't see it, but I am. but the traditional filing deadline is April 15th. Now, you can file for an extension, right? On your personal return, you can push that back as far as October 15th. And we've done that any number of years. We don't do it every year. If you do file for an extension, just remember any tax that is payable is due on April 15th, right? So you need to have, if you're doing it yourself or using a CPA, have them figure out an estimated amount due. You need to pay that on April 15th. If you don't, the IRS does charge you interest on that amount due. If you have a credit coming from the IRS by the same token, do they give that to you? No, they're going to wait till you file that on, you know, mid-October. Why might you delay October 15th? Maybe you owe a considerable amount. What's the interest rate that they're charging you? It's about 3%, I believe. You can double check that. They adjust that every quarter. So, hey, maybe it's better to sit on your cash and pay that interest, invest it somewhere else where you can make more than that 3 or 4% until mid-October. And also, another reason you might want to delay and why we have delayed in the past is as we have been investing in single family houses, we follow the Lifestyles model, buy with hard money, do the work, refi out on the back end. And sometimes that prior year's tax return could be a consideration when we go to do that refinance. So we always have a conversation with our mortgage lender prior to that final filing to see, could there be any impact on our refinances this coming year? If so, she'll let us know, and we put it on hold till October. So give that some thought. When we come back, we're going to head into a quick break. I want to give you the extended deadlines. The IRS has, in fact, extended the deadline for some of you, not everybody. Stay tuned.
Del Wamsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and today on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, we're getting into that sexy topic, which is taxes. It's that time of year for some of you. For some of you, it's been delayed a little bit. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. If you do have questions today, the number is 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. And just a disclaimer, I am not a CPA. Okay, I use a CPA, I hire a CPA to do my taxes for me because they know the business, but I do have an upper level understanding of it, and certainly as it applies to what we do as real estate investors, because the tax advantage is one of the ways we make our money, right? We make our money five ways with our single family houses, six with the apartments. One of those advantages is the tax advantages, right? We save a lot of money by virtue of our real estate investments. So I mentioned that, traditional deadline is April 15th. And if you think back about a year ago, maybe it was a little bit earlier even, as I guess it was as part of the CARES Act, the deadline for filing our 2019 returns in 2020 was delayed. They pushed that back for everybody to July 15th due to the coronavirus and everything else. Kind of a way to help those that do have taxes due to hold on to that money for a little bit longer. This year, I've seen an article actually just recently. This was in Market Watch, and accountants are actually calling for another delay. This was from the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. I don't want to get that wrong, right? The AICPA. They say that in the current environment, it's simply not possible for many taxpayers and their advisors to meet their filing and payment obligations on April 15th. So they are asking for a blanket delay to the filing. Now, the IRS has declined to do that in the past. They declined to comment in this article. They have simply said in the past that there are no plans to push back the deadline for everybody else. So they have pushed it back for some of us, and here's who. So for the rest of you that I'm not covering with my next statement, stay tuned. Maybe they push it back. I got my stuff done. I'm happy. Breathe a big sigh of relief. Hopefully you've gotten through your process as well. But who did they delay the filings for? Well, for those of us here in Texas and our friends to the north in Oklahoma that were impacted by the winter storm. So this did just come out late February. The IRS has pushed back the 2020 tax filing deadlines for what they're calling victims of the winter storms that started in mid-February. I heard that recently called the Valentine's Day storms. That's about right. It's about when it started. So everybody in all 254 counties in Texas and all 77 counties in Oklahoma are covered by the Biden disaster declaration and are therefore also now part of this delay. If you haven't filed them already, you can push those back, that filing back to June 15th. And that delay applies to any estimated taxes as well, that tax due that I was talking about. So you don't have to worry about the interest, any fourth quarter. If you pay right estimates on a quarterly basis, those are now delayed to June 15th as well. 1031 exchange. We'll talk about this briefly later in the show. It's one of the ways that we are tax advantaged as real estate investors. If that doesn't ring a bell for you, if you're scratching your head with another acronym or whatever that is, 1031 exchange. In terms of the identifying a replacement property, if you're in this process, you know what I'm talking about, as well as closing on that replacement property when you've sold an investment asset. Those have also been delayed. I'll touch again on those towards the end of the show when we get to that topic about 1031 exchange. If you don't know what I'm talking about, stay tuned. Okay, again, that simply put is one of the tax advantages that we enjoy as real estate investors. Also worth noting, when you do go to file your taxes for 2020, you can actually claim the disaster loss from this year that occurred in 2021. You can actually claim that on your 2020 return. You can do it on your 2021 if you prefer, right? Maybe this is a time to sit down with that CPA and see where it makes more sense. What do you have planned for the year in terms of maybe withdrawals from an IRA or something like that? If you had a massive hit, well, maybe you can use that as an offset in 2021, but you can claim that on your 2020 return. You need to note the disaster declaration at the top, in this case, Texas severe winter storms. And there's a declaration number from FEMA. That's FEMA 4586. You need to notate that as well. Talk to your CPA. They'll steer you through that process. But I think that's important to understand because a lot of the folks that are listening are in Texas. And we did get a little bit of breathing room as a result of that storm. So moving on, should you deduct every expense? We're going to get to that. That's part of the conversation, of course, around documentation. And I think it ties to a degree to my notion of outsourcing. I do outsource, as I mentioned, to a CPA, and I have a conversation with that CPA on a regular basis. Hey, I've done this thing. I bought this tool. I bought this new computer, whatever. Can I expense that? Do I have a justifiable business cause here? We always have that conversation, especially on the big ticket items. But for you in general, it just comes down to good record keeping. That process I just got through where I breathed a sigh of relief when I got everything over to my CPA, it was relatively seamless. I don't know why I put it off. I just always delay it. I hate doing it. But good record keeping makes it easier. You know, receipts are a big issue where I hear people, investors, have issue. Do you save those things? They can kind of fade over time. You know, what I've started doing personally is just take a picture and immediately save it to a cloud server and destroy the receipt. I don't need it anymore. Make the entry, of course, into your books. If you're getting enough of a portfolio, single family houses, maybe you just hire a bookkeeper to do all of that for you. Outsource that piece as well as the tax prep that you have outsourced to your CPA, or here's a term for you, enrolled agent, an EA. That is a person that is closely in bed, so to speak, with the IRS, has been with the IRS, really is registered with the IRS. They're enrolled as an agent, therefore, to do your tax prep as well. But good record keeping is just tremendous and will make your life a lot easier. I've seen people that are still doing this where? On a yellow legal pad. They just keep chicken scratch entries left and right, you know. Basic accounting, I guess, on their legal pads. That works. You know, maybe a basic spreadsheet, Excel or something similar. Or you could even go out and just get a full-blown software package. There are a lot of options, really, to help you steer that process. If you are a Lifestyles member and you haven't heard about it, we do have a software program called Basil Books, which is intended for you as the investor to do this very thing, to manage that bookkeeping. And there are courses on the education portal out there if you want to learn more about that. But personally, I think, you know, as soon as I had this conversation, in fact, just recently with a buddy that just got his first rental, and he is a CPA, but he's not a tax CPA. He does risk management, risk mitigation. And he's like, should I outsource it? Should I hand this off? I mean, I'm a CPA, for goodness sake. And, you know, personally, I think as soon as you have that first rental house, hand off your taxes to a professional, again, a CPA or an EA, an enrolled agent. I mean, this is a good area to do that early on, because you can start to have those conversations around what can I expense? What should I expense? Should I deduct every expense on my rental portfolio? Be careful, especially for you, the self-employed crowd out there. You want to reduce your tax burden, but especially if you're investing in single family houses, could that hurt you? Stay tuned. We'll wrap up the conversation when we come back on should I deduct every expense. And I'll tell you why I'm excited to see a big loss on my very first A1 as a passive multifamily investor. So stay tuned.
And now a word on retirement from Del Wamsley.
The average person thought they'd retire at 59 and a half, 60, then they said 64, then it was 65, then it was 66, then all of a sudden they jump right to 70. 70 is the new 59, 70 is the new 64, then it was, you know, hey, most people are going to work all the way into their 80s.
Do you really want to work in your 80s, or would you like to retire in 5 years or less? Find out how on Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and on today's show, we are talking taxes. Nothing certain in life but death and taxes, as Ben Franklin quipped. And for a lot of us, ours are coming due here in about a month. If you are in Texas or Oklahoma, where we have had disaster declarations as a result of the deep freeze 2021, the IRS has pushed that deadline back from April 15th for your personal return to June 15th. So you have a little bit of breathing room there. You can actually claim any damages from this storm on your 2020 return if you so desire. Now, remember, I'm not a CPA. I can't give you tax advice, but if you don't have a good CPA and you are a rental investor, maybe it's time to find one. CPA, enrolled agent, outsource that. It makes your life a lot easier. Now, you may still have to do the bookkeeping. I'm still in that bookkeeping phase. You can outsource that as well. Get even more passive with your investing. But we're just talking ahead of the break about deducting expenses. We're going to dive into that very briefly here. I do want to give you the number if you've got any questions today on taxes or anything else. It's 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. I do have that open. I check that during the breaks. And we're also going to get into some of the tax advantages of real estate investing. And I do want to mention here, we do have our Wealth and Passive Income Expo coming up in September, at the start of September. And I was just looking back at the 2020 Expo that we had in February of last year, 2020. And there were any number of breakout sessions on this very topic of the tax advantages. I just picked out a couple of titles. I went to a couple of these. In fact, there was tax-free real estate investing. How do you pay low to no income taxes on your rental, on your cash flow? We'll talk about that. Another one was called Defer, Die. Secrets to Tax-Free Investing, about passing on your wealth, essentially. Another one was a tax panel with both single-family and multifamily tax experts. A panel suggests, hey, ask your questions, right? So good stuff. Much more detail, obviously. And we'll have, I don't know the full outline for the September Expo in terms of the breakout sessions, but I bet you can expect some of those to focus on taxes. So if you are concerned about what's going to be happening up on Capitol Hill throughout the rest of this year and on into the coming year and so on, and need to develop that tax strategy, want to better understand how we use tax, you know, the tax advantages of real estate to reduce our tax burden or eliminate it altogether, well, it's a good place to go. And you can learn more if you go to wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com. Okay, and register there if you like, wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com. You get a $97 discount if you go to register. Use my name as the promo code, Andy, A-N-D-Y, to get that discount. But good stuff. A lot of other breakout sessions that I'm excited to attend and see and just learn. Continue learning is what it comes down to. So back to deducting your expenses. By the way, if you're coming in from out of state, out of town, wherever, this is going to be here in Irving, Texas, in Dallas-Fort Worth area, can you deduct that travel? You can. Can you deduct that hotel? You can. Can you deduct those meals that you pay for? You can. Now, should you deduct everything? This, again, is a conversation to have with your CPA and with your lender. If you are buying single-family houses and you maximize, just take those deductions as high as you can to where you're making a loss or worse, if there is anything worse, how's that going to impact you when you go to do that cash out refinance on an existing house where that rate and term refi is part of the hard money rehab and refi process? When the underwriter looks at your tax return and says, whoa, this guy's making no money, he's losing money. You have to weigh the advantages now against that, where you are in that process of buying. And again, I have had that conversation every year at tax filing time with my lender of choice. Hey, take a look at this, please. Do you see any issues? I mean, there's a concrete calculation if you're using, and I'm speaking here specifically about the Fannie Mae financing. There's a concrete calculation that they can plug the numbers in very quickly to. And I got a copy of that at some point so I can do it myself and see if it makes sense, but it can impact you. So do be careful. And there's some deductions we hear. Maybe that's an audit red flag. Maybe it's not. The home office is one that traditionally has come up. I think that's relented a bit. We do know that the IRS audit schedule is down quite a bit. They're not auditing quite as many people. I take the home office deduction because I use a home office for this very business. It's not the whole house. It's just a portion, a certain square footage. But again, talk with your CPA and see what makes sense. I've heard tales of investors that overdo the expensing of meals and such and hurt themselves when they go to do that refi. Of course, hey, look, if you get to the refi closing table and figure out that Fannie Mae financing is not going to work, we do have non-conforming lenders that can lend to you as well. So there's always an exit strategy there. So let's move on. And I want to talk about, so as part of my filing process, I had to gather all my documents. And as part of that process, one of the documents, if you are a passive investor in multifamily or any LLC, anything you're doing passively, you're not running the deal, you're just putting your money in, you're going to get what's called a K-1 as part of that business filing. So they're supposed to have their business taxes filed by March 15th, a 1065 it's called, and as part of that process, it throws off a bunch of K-1s. I used to be the tax management partner for an LLC, so I had to do this every year, small organization. I just did the filing myself, created the K-1, sent those out. You're supposed to have those by March 15th. Now we're going to see how, I don't know how the storm affects the K-1 specifically, but I did get one and actually got it very early. And this is where we see one of the tax advantages of real estate. I got the one back. First deal we did closed, you know, late in the year, Q4 of 2020. So have not been in that quite too long, you know, not terribly long. And the loss reported on the K-1 almost meets the amount of capital that we put in the deal. Ooh, Andy, that doesn't sound too good. Is that bad? No, that's great. Here you have to understand two things. Number one, this particular deal, we targeted a value play. If you know anything about apartments, we're either buying for cash flow, called a yield play, or we're buying to create wealth, which is a value play. And in this case, we went for a value play. We knew going in, based on the business plan, based on the private placement memorandum, that it was a relatively heavy lift, and there just would not be any cash flow for about 12 to 14 months. Even going forward, we're not going to see any cash flow until until the lead investor does considerable renovations to that property, repositions the property, right, gets rid of the riffraff, and raises the rents. There's a lot of room for raising the rents in this asset, and so on. So this will drive, you know, it'll drive a loss position for a while, but that's okay. We didn't go in it for the cash flow. We're in this for the long haul because of the wealth creation on the back end. It's going to be tremendous. That's point number one. But number two, as lead investors manage through the process of this, you know, managing this asset, they can use something that is called cost segregation to accelerate depreciation, which we'll talk about here in just a minute, and create a larger loss earlier in the life of that asset. Okay, so stay tuned. We're going to get a little bit more around into detail around this particular explanation. But for now, understand that that is a paper loss that we incurred, which is great for our taxes. Here's why. This is one of the tax advantages. I can use real estate losses, obviously, to offset any passive gains I have in my properties, but also to offset my earned income. I still work part-time. My wife retired after 3 years of investing, wound up taking a part-time job as well in the industry. She got bored. You know, she had choices. She loves what she's doing now, but that does throw off some earned income. Well, when we have a loss through our real estate investing, we can deduct up to $25,000 of losses from that rental real estate against our active or our earned income. Good stuff. So if I had a tax liability from the job, from the JOB, if you do, but you have losses because of this multifamily deal you got into that's a deep value play and is throwing off losses for now, but going to build that massive wealth on the back. And even the yield plays, we're going to do the cost segregation, which we'll talk about. Great news, because we're just massively reducing our tax burden. Now, that $25,000 deduction, it's phased out as you get into the adjusted gross income from $100,000 to $150,000. So above $150,000, no deduction. It gets reduced over time. And I'll tell you, if you have any gains, like I said, from passive investment, you can offset that as well. Or you can go all in. That $25,000 deduction of losses, we can wipe that all together and go exponential. Go to the sky, if you like. We'll talk about that briefly when we come back and get into depreciation and cost segregation. So stay tuned.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the seven principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and today on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, we're talking taxes. Not my favorite topic of all time, but a topic that is coming due here mid-April for most of you. That deadline has been pushed back to June 15th if you are in Texas or Oklahoma as a result of that recent winter weather disaster. So just got my taxes over to my CPA, wiped my hands of that, patted myself on the back, and just breathed a big sigh of relief, because for whatever reason, it's one of those things I delay every year and it's done. It's done. And as part of that process, I mentioned, you know, we got our K-1 for the first multifamily deal that we've gotten into as passives, and there's a big loss. There's a big loss. Did I start crying? And was this a bad idea? What did I get myself into? No. This is part of the process of repositioning that asset. And I welcome the loss, because we'll use that to our advantage as part of our tax process, right? We'll use that to either offset other gains in the passive world of investing, or more likely, because we do have some earned income, use that to offset or deduct against that earned income and reduce our tax liabilities. And I mentioned in the prior segment, you know, up to $25,000 of losses is generally what you can take. Now, I am not a CPA. You need to go talk with your CPA or enrolled agent about how to use this tax tool to your advantage, but it's just one of the advantages that we have as real estate investors. And by the way, that $25,000 cap, it's a cap unless you are what's known as a real estate professional. How do you become a real estate professional? Let's say you're married and one of you is in, I don't know, a high-paying job, the other isn't. Well, that other one could become that real estate professional by devoting a certain number of hours, more than 50% essentially, in a calendar year to your real estate activities. There are requirements like that, number of hours and so on to getting this designation, keeping good records, maybe having a notebook, et cetera, but talk to your CPA about that. But once one of you is a real estate professional, you can use unlimited losses to offset that high income. So that $25,000 cap goes away. Let's say you get into 10 multifamily passive deals and it throws off $200,000 in losses. You can use those. You can use them all. Now, what happens if you're not a real estate professional and you're limited to that $25,000 cap? Whatever you don't use in this year, the good news is you can roll that forward. You can keep tracking that until you are able to employ that against next year's taxes, against the sale, let's say, of an asset of one of your rental properties. So, isn't real estate great? Taxes aren't. Mark Twain, he said, "What makes the difference between a taxidermist and a tax collector? The taxidermist only takes your skin." So, we want to defer our payments as best we can and find those tax advantages. And we have a plethora of those in real estate. One of those, and I mentioned this already as part of that K-1 discussion, comes from depreciation. And we're going to give you an example of single family to start with. Let's say you buy a house and that house costs you $115,000 just to get the house. Okay, it's the type of asset we like to buy that needs work, so we've got it at a discount. And the value is going to be somewhere north of there, quite a bit north of there. Renovations needed, $30,000. So you're all in just between the purchase and the reno at $145,000. Don't worry about closing costs. Don't worry about ARV, the after repair value, right? That value that we're targeting with our repairs. The depreciation that we're going to take is going to be based off of that purchase price and that rehab. And actually, some of the closing costs will roll into what's called your basis there. But we're going to take depreciation. We're going to take that asset. We're going to take those dollars and we're going to take them as a paper expense over what the IRS allows us, 27 and a half years. Now, there is a caveat there. We bought that thing for $115,000. Some of that was the sticks and bricks. Some of that was the land that it sits on. Let's say that $15,000 was the land. Well, land doesn't get used up, so you cannot depreciate land. So of that original basis of $145,000, we're in it for 130. Again, forget about closing costs and that other stuff. So we just take that number, divide by 27.5, which is the allowed depreciation for real estate, both single family and apartments. That yields a little over $4,700 per year that I can now deduct as depreciation on my tax return. It's a phantom expense. It represents a part of that, the what's called the useful life of that property. I'm using it up over time, essentially. And it provides a tax deduction, really, that's not an actual cash expense. I mean, that's already great because you can now see how we get to that paper loss and why we don't pay taxes on the cash flow in our houses. But then you can accelerate that. So get this, and this is what we see a lot in apartments, not so much in houses. We can really speed up that depreciation using something called cost segregation. So if you think about a house, let's just start with that house, that $115,000 house and those repairs that we did. And let's say we redid the floors, put on a new roof, put in new appliances, put in new carpet. Well, each of those individual components really, in theory, right, they've got their own useful life. Carpet, for example, is given a 5-year life. Water heater, I don't know, let's say it's 10 years. I think that's the industry expectation for the lifespan of a water heater. I don't know if that's what the IRS says it is, but let's say it's 10 years. You can do a study, and this is what multifamily investors do. You can do a cost segregation study. It's something you pay for, and they'll go in. The company that does this analysis is going to split out every piece of each of those individual components so that you can depreciate them separately. So think about that. Let's say you've invested in a 250-unit apartment complex. There are 250 refrigerators that you can depreciate at on a faster timeline. Rather than 27.5 years, let's say it's 5 years. That carpet across all of those units, 5 years rather than 27 and a half. Those water heaters, 10 years instead of 27 and a half. So you see where I'm going. The advantage to doing this cost segregation study, you're effectively then pulling that depreciation forward and therefore that loss. So that loss that I saw on my K-1, which is in part due to the CapEx, the repairs that we're doing in that particular complex, well, we can also do the segregation and pull that loss forward, pull that depreciation forward, take a bigger depreciation hit early in the life of that apartment complex. But why would we do that? Well, we have no intention of holding these assets for 27 and a half years. So why sit and wait and take that depreciation over that entire period? We pull that forward, and it gives us massive tax advantages early in the life of the asset by virtue of that paper loss. We leverage that throughout the early life cycle before we sell it, say in what, year five, year seven, whatever the business plan holds, whatever your lead investor is doing with that ship. So tremendous advantages there. Think about that. Again, if you're a high earner, I talked to a guy the other day that's earning very well and is in any number of passive investments, apartments. And if you time it right and you pick up a couple of passive investments every year and they're doing the cost segregation and pulling that depreciation forward, you're always going to have this paper loss to apply then to your earned income and pull down your tax burden. Final thing I want to hit on very briefly is deferring those capital gains. Going back to that single family house, let's say we decide it's time to sell it. We've been in it for 5 years. You know, we anticipate maybe that water heater is going to go out, or you know, we don't want to start doing any CapEx on the thing. So let's divest it. Let's sell it. Well, you can sell it and outright pay the taxes on it. Or you can do what's called a 1031 exchange. I mentioned this at the start of the show, and this is just a part of the tax code. I guess 1031 is the number there that allows us as investors to take a real estate investment, sell it, take all of those capital gains that we've earned over time, and roll those into the next asset. The next investment has to be a like kind. I have to sell a rental house and get into some form of income producing real estate. It does not have to be another house per se. I don't pay any taxes on that capital gain. I just keep rolling it forward. That's that defer, 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 and then eventually die and it transfers to my heirs. It's a very good way for wealth building. We have a lot of shows on our website. If you want to go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio tab. You can scroll through there, or there's a search bar at the bottom. Just type in 1031 exchange, and there's a lot of information out there on the mechanics behind this, some interviews with some of our vendors that are the agents that manage this process, because like a lot of things in real estate, you do have to employ a third party here for this, but you can learn more there. I do want to mention the timelines. If you are in the process now of doing a 1031 exchange and you are in Texas or you are in Oklahoma, aside from pushing back the deadlines for all the regular filers out there from mid-April to June 15th, the IRS has also given us some leeway. If you're in the middle of that 1031 exchange, if it started between December 28th of 2020 and February 10th of this year, they've now pushed back until June 15th, that time period within which you have to identify your replacement property. When you sell using a 1031 exchange, you have 45 days to name your replacement property. Well, this has now been delayed. And then you have a total 180 days to close. That has also been pushed back to June 15th. If you began the process going as far back as middle of August 2020. So those timelines have been delayed as well. So very upper level view, but that is another one of the tax advantages, is I'm taking the capital gains, and rather than selling and paying taxes on that gain right now, I'm rolling those gains into the next property after that, wash, rinse, and repeat, saving the taxes, avoiding that burden for now, deferring, and building my wealth for me and for my heirs. It's a lot of information. If you missed anything, you can go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio tab. My name is Andy Webb. I thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.